This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
In the final volume of Isaiah Berlin's letters, at one point he tells a correspondent that after a lifetime of study, he has concluded that history has no libretto. What he means by this is that all the grand schemes to try to make scientific sense out of history, to give it a predictable, understandable nature, as if it obeyed the same sort of laws that we can uncover in the hard sciences. Any effort to understand history that way, and he particularly singled out Hegel and Marx as the culprits in this, was doomed to failure. That there is no essential nature to history. There is no great inner narrative or unfolding mechanisms that we can understand and reliably predict, or let alone control. And for him, much of what counted as the history of ideas and the history of philosophy was uncovering and deconstructing the various kinds of narratives that people have tried to impose on history, for good or for bad. I mean, some narratives are very valuable, perhaps inevitable. Narratives, say, of liberation and human rights, liberty. To see history as the progressive attempt to make more and more inclusive the category of what it means to be a human being with rights. And how, in a sense, it is our duty to struggle to constantly expand the categories of those who are entitled to rights, you know, from those who are naturally excluded by being slaves or having no property or being a woman. History is in part driven by people who want to create a narrative of rights and liberation. So even though such things are in some sense arbitrary, they are part of the necessary fabric of our lives. In our practice, we can talk about curative fantasies or organizing principles as ways to try to get a grip on the particular story we tell ourselves about what's wrong, what's going to make it right, what are we missing, how have we screwed up, what do we need to do differently, right? The Four Noble Truths, in a certain way, are that kind of organizing narrative. saying, this is the reality of suffering. This is where it comes from. This is what it is. This is what you have to do if you want to get out of it, right? All our practices, in some sense, are based on trying to shape our experience into stories like that. And some will work better than others, and some will work better for some people than others, and some will work better in one time or place than another. Unfortunately, we have a rather persistent tendency to try to make our narratives absolute and timeless and ahistorical, right? And in part, this is what Berlin was complaining about, and Marx and Hegel, the attempt to create a kind of overarching narrative that would explain history, all of history, right? Now, part of what we do in practice is observe and deconstruct that narrative tendency. And sometimes that takes place at a very radical level. In Dogen, he'll write that we should not fall into the trap of imagining that firewood burns and becomes ash. Firewood has a total and complete existence as firewood. Ash has a complete existence, just as ash. The whole temporal and causal chain is arbitrary and unreal. You get a similar critique, perhaps, in David Hume's criticism of our ideas of causality. These are people sort of trying to, at the most fundamental level, break down the narrative inevitability of what we call common sense or our given worldview. Right? And meditation does create moments where somehow there's a kind of radical stripping away of all narrative, and we can find ourselves in a certain kind of just jaw-dropping, awe-struck moment of wonder. Oh. Well, wow. Right? And there's no story, no meaning. It's just this moment. But that never lasts. And almost inevitably, those kinds of moments become part of a story of, wow, what a special person I am. I've had an experience like that. Right? I've always thought that it's a remarkable fact that the most common result of an experience of oneness is that you conclude you're different from everybody else. So I think that what we all need to do in this practice, as we sit moment after moment, is sort of a double-edged kind of practice. On one hand, we are simply being in the moment. We're simply feeling our body breathe. We're simply looking at our face in the mirror. In a certain sense, this has no purpose. This has no meaning. This is just an experience, a moment after moment. And yet, the other piece of our practice is at some point to always step back from that and see how we cannot leave any moment alone for very long. We cannot leave our experience narrative-free or meaning-free. One thing I point out is that we almost always have a kind of background narrative of how am I doing, right? A kind of am I there yet narrative, am I doing it right narrative. These things sort of inevitably come along and envelop whatever our moment-to-moment experience is. We can take another step back and see even those thoughts of how am I doing? They're just thoughts in the moment. They have no more solidity or validity than a sound coming in from the street. To see those thoughts as just thoughts, as empty, as you know what people mean when they say don't believe everything you think. You know? So I think there's this kind of micro to macro kind of dimensions of practice. At the micro level, it really is just this moment to moment being present. But as we pull back, we see that we inevitably make that part of our story. A how am I doing story. A story about what kind of special person am I that I'm doing this. A story about what kind of failure I am for not being better at doing this. And further back, a whole narrative about all the things that have brought me to practice, all the pictures I have of the cause and end of suffering. Part of why I've, over the years, tried to integrate the language of therapy and Zen is that I think one way or another we have to engage all those different levels of narrative and meaning. So as we sit, what do? Just look in the mirror, say, this is me. But also at some point, step back and say, what's my story?